verse 15 and 16. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partaker of the altar? And he's using it to teach about idolatry and how that eating of the sacrifice of the altar make you one with the idol. And so the thing we drink, it is the communion. What does communion mean? It means partnership, koinonia. It is the commonality between us. The what we have in communion of the blood of Christ. You are in the blood of Christ. I am in the blood of Christ. And what does he say though? But we, being many, are one bread. And how do we unify ourselves in this? You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. That's what verse 21 in 1 Corinthians says. Not only in the literal elements, but in the spirit. And this is where it is much more insidious. Because I tell you, people go up and they take their bread and their wine, and I don't object to doing those object things. But what's going on? What spiritual thing is really, well, I get a blessing by doing it. That's it. What we have in common is the blood of Christ. And what we have in common is the body of Christ. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood, he says. You cannot inherit eternal life without eating my flesh and drinking my blood. But does he mean you have to take wine and bread in a ritual in order to perform that? Because it's a figure of speech that means I have to become your life. You have to make me as important as your daily food. I don't need breakfast, I need Jesus. I don't need dinner, I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to be taught of him. I need to be nourished by him. I need to be fed by him. We do this in common together. And I tell you, the elements are not very important. And I have said on many occasions that in church potluck dinners everywhere, they are eating and drinking the body of the Lord in an unworthy manner. What? Yeah, because they don't discern the Lord's body. And there they sit, speaking the language of devils, speaking the covetousness of the world, as they eat and drink in company with other believers, quote unquote, and supposedly having fellowship time. That's another one. People say, well, let's have fellowship. Fellowship and communion are the same Greek word, koinonia. It is our common currency. Remember the study of Jude, coin? The common currency between believers. It is in the blood of Christ. It is in the sufferings of Christ. His body and blood entails everything about him. His doctrine. Doctrine and teaching in all those subcategories thereof. And his blood. The things he did. The actions he performed. The wisdom he exercised. All those things together. We must take in. Ingest them. And let them not only enter into our belly to go out the dearth, but to enter into our hearts. The symbols are nothing. What he's saying is you have to have a fanatical dedication to me. That's what it means to eat and drink his blood. It's a fanatical dedication. It doesn't mean, oh, you need to perform this ritual. Have a slice of Wonder Bread and a little bit of grape juice and there you go. Or have a special wafer pressed at our very special factory and a very special wine of the greatest vintage in our fancy, fancy church. But then they go down and they have their casseroles and they're drinking their soda pop, and they don't discern that Christ's body and blood is there too. You're gathered together in his name, and you call it the Sabbath day. Whether it be Sunday or Saturday, you're gathered together in his name on a day you call holy. And then your talk. What are you talking about? What are you speaking of? Is the blood of Christ present? Is his body in the body? We are his body. We are one bread. We are like a loaf baked together in the shape and after the likeness of Jesus Christ. And anything less than that is a mockery. Anything else than that is just a vain repetition of an outward sign of something that nobody even understands. And that's what they're left with. His blood is shed for many. What for? What for? His body was broken. Why? What for? so that we could have pizza parties, forget our God, and walk after the imagination of our own heart and the covetousness of our lusts? Is that what he was broken for? So then we gather ourselves together in his name, we should speak of vain things? There's so little spirituality in church. And I don't mean spirituality like mysticism. I just mean in the sense of speaking of the things of God's Spirit, that God's Spirit brings. Helping people obtain those things and talking about those things and discussing these things. It's like we're uncomfortable. The blood of Christ was shed to turn us from our iniquities, to turn us from our sins, to cleanse us and turn us, to change our lives. His body was broken that we might be made like unto him. And those are the things we have in common as Christians. And that should provide much fertile ground for fellowship and communion. And we eat and drink together. As oft as you do it in remembrance of him. The food we eat and the drink we drink, it is his body and blood. Don't forget it. He is our everything. And he says, I will drink no more fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. He will not touch it again, and has not touched it, I suppose, now, until he returns. When they had sung a hymn, verse 26, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. They all start chiming in. Oh, we'll never forsake you. And I believe, of course, they were absolutely sincere. They believed it to the core of their beings. But the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can tell it? But the Lord, he tries the reins. He searches the hearts. The man may not want to fulfill God's word. Somehow, we find ourselves fulfilling God's word, regardless of our will, regardless of what we might want to do. We find ourselves doing according to as it is written, whatever that role may be that we have to fulfill. But out of that, I take a lot of comfort, because God is good. And I believe that with God in control, in the end, all will be well. Jesus quotes in verse 27, Zechariah 13:7, Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Verse 32, And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John.